The reason that we are spending time reading the Eighth Surah is because the assassin of the two New York police officers was a Muslim. He posted on his website, Quran 860 is the justification for the attack. His sister and his mother were both cited in the news today and also yesterday, saying that he was not a racist and that racism had absolutely no role whatsoever in the attack or the assassination. Folks, it's Islam. And so it was important for us, recognizing that over the past 3 days, there have been three Allahu Akbar murderers, terrorists in France, and that we had one in the United States, and that in the name of Islam, screaming Allahu Akbar, the Islamic State and Boko Haram are kidnapping, enslaving, gang raping thousands of little girls. That the combination of these horrors being perpetrated by Muslims at an ever-increasing rate gives us the opportunity to expose the religion for what it really is. And since he quoted the Eighth Surah, this was a perfect opportunity to share the Eighth Surah of the Quran with you. It is a miserable document, perverted in every possible way. It is errant historically. It is grotesquely immoral. It is braggadocious. It is vile. It justifies criminal behavior. That's why Islam, based on the Eighth Surah of the Quran alone, Islam needs to be denounced and declared criminal. It needs to be declared illegal. The Eighth Surah of the Quran is illegal. When Muslims are told by their wannabe God to fight non-Muslims until the only religion is Islam, that is illegal. That is illegal in any non-Islamic country. Islam must be declared illegal. That is an illegal statement. You cannot inspire people to fight all of those who do not surrender to your religion. This goes on to say, verily, the worst of creatures, the vilest of beasts in the sight of Allah, are those who reject Him and will not believe. They are those whom you make an agreement, but they break the covenant every time, and they do not keep their duty. So here is the Islamic God saying that if you reject Muhammad's, and this is spoken to, by the way, to Muslims. This isn't being addressed to infidels. This is being addressed to Muslims. And it says that the worst of creatures in the sight of Allah are those who reject Him and who do not believe. Now, rejecting Him and not believing Him means rejecting Muhammad and not believing Muhammad, because Allah never said anything. Allah never did anything. All you got is Muhammad. So keep that in mind, that this means those who reject Muhammad, as he encourages Muslims, orders Muslims to fight and kill and rob and deceive for him, giving him 20% of whatever they steal, are the vilest of creatures. This is someone, they're Muslims, they make an agreement, but then they break their agreement. And they do not keep their duty. And in parentheses here, you should know, their duty is to fight. If you gain mastery in battle, inflict such a defeat as would terrorize them, so that they would learn a lesson and be warned. This, again, is a criminal statement. It tells Muslims that they should terrorize their foes. That Anytime Muslims are put in a position where they have the opportunity, they're ordered by their wannabe God, Allah, to inflict terror on their victims. If you gain mastery over them in battle. Now, the battle here is not wars. They are terrorist raids. They are exactly what Hamas and the PLO and the Islamic State do on a regular basis. This is not a war. These are terrorist attacks. And if your terrorist attacks prevail and you gain an advantage, you're supposed to inflict such a defeat as to terrorize them that they learn a lesson and are warned. Or to be savage, to be ruthless, to be inhumane. That's what this is ordering Muslims to do. And so when you put this in context with the previous statement, from Allah's perspective, the worst person on the planet, the ultimate beast, the vilest of beasts, from the Quran's perspective, from Islam's perspective, is those who do not terrorize, who do not fight, and then ravage their opponents so that they are terrorized. People will capitulate to Islam because the hell that is perpetrated by Muslims is so egregious that they'd rather surrender and submit than fight. That's the purpose of this passage. It's a criminal statement. If you apprehend treachery from any group on any part of a people, now imagine this. It isn't treacherous in Islam to rape. It isn't treacherous in Islam to commit pedophilia. It isn't treacherous in Islam to kidnap. It isn't treacherous in Islam to steal. It isn't treacherous in Islam to lie. It isn't treacherous in Islam to kill. It isn't treacherous in Islam to commit an act of terrorism. So what would be treacherous? Because all of those things Muhammad did and ordered Muslims to follow his example and his orders. So what would be considered treacherous if all of those things are considered good? The only treachery would be treason. Treason against what? Against Allah, Muhammad, Islam, the Quran. So if anyone opposes Allah, if anyone fails to surrender to Allah and Islam, if anyone speaks out against Allah and Islam, then they are committing what the Quran would define as treachery. Retaliate by breaking off relations with them. For Allah does not love the treacherous. Now, Allah loves the rapist. Allah loves the pedophile. Allah loves the kidnapper and those who enslave others. He loves the mass murderer. He loves the deceiver. He loves those who surrender and who submit. But Allah does not like those who expose him, who condemn him, who mock him. He doesn't like those who are informed and rational. The infidels should not think that they can bypass. It doesn't say here bypass whom, but the assumption is the punishment of Allah. Surely they cannot get away. So, the promise to Muslims is if someone is opposed to Islam, that Allah will eventually get them. That's why when I wrote Prophet of Doom, I must have had 1,000, if not 10,000 emails from Muslims saying, Allah's going to get you, and your torment's going to be painful in hell. Allah's going to get you. No, he's not. Allah's got absolutely no influence over me. Allah could no more get me than a man in the moon. Prepare against them. Now, this is the next verse. It is Quran 860. It is the verse that the assassin, the Muslim assassin of the two New York police officers, quoted on his website. We've reached Quran 860. prepare against them whatever arms and cavalry you can muster, that you may strike terror into the enemies of Allah and other besides them not known to you. This is an illegal statement in every non-Islamic country. Anyone who tells people that they should amass whatever weapons they can accumulate, and to deploy those weapons, terrorizing those who oppose their religious deity, and others not even known to them. Any statement like that in any civilized country is illegal. You can't order people, inspire people, encourage people to commit acts of terrorism. And yet Quran 860 says that very thing. Muslims, you are to use whatever weapons you can muster and terrorize anyone who is not a Muslim. Open-ended for the entire earth for all time. So long as the Quran exists, this is what Muslims will do. Does this mean that all Muslims will do this? No. There's some bad Muslim hypocrites. Allah hates them. They're complete frauds. So it's possible to not be a terrorist so long as you're not a good Muslim. All good Muslims, however, are terrorists. The Quran defines good Muslim as those who surrender to Allah, who follow His orders. And His order in Quran 860 is prepare against them whatever arms and cavalry you can muster so that you may strike terror into the enemies of Allah and others besides them not known to you. It is one of the many reasons that I state clearly, rationally, appropriately, compassionately, wisely, that Islam is a criminal enterprise, that it is a terrorist manifesto, that Islam must be denounced as illegal. It must be outlawed. And Muslims must be quarantined. If you're not willing to do that, then you are immoral. We have reached the conclusion of our quest to present the Quran's 8th surah up through verse 160 in context. And 160 reads, prepare against them whatever arms you can muster so that you may strike terror into the enemies of Allah's and others besides them unknown to you. It's an open-ended declaration that requires Muslims to be terrorists. Requires them to be terrorists. I mean, everything that preceded this said that you're the vilest of creatures. You're going to be tormented forever in hell if you don't submit to Allah and Muhammad's commands. And the command is to use whatever weapons you can muster to strike terror into those who oppose Islam and Allah, the Quran, and Muhammad, and all of the evil that Islam inspires, to terrorize them, and others besides that not known to you. That's what it says. Now, there's a couple other passages that I want to read as this repulsive surah of the Quran winds down. Allah is allegedly speaking to his alter ego, and it says, Quran 865, O Prophet, by the way, calling a prophet is ridiculous. He never had a single prophecy. Urge the believers to fight. If there are 20 among you with determination, they will vanquish 200. If 100, they will slaughter 1,000 unbelieving infidels. For these are the people devoid of understanding. O Prophet Muhammad, urge Muslims to fight. If there are 20 among you with determination, they will vanquish 200. If 100, they will slaughter 1,000 of the unbelieving infidels. It's a declaration of war against all humankind. 866. Now Allah has lightened your I'm assuming task, he just omitted the word. For he knows that there is a weak spot in which, in you. So if there are 100 of you with determination, they will vanquish 200. And if 1,000, they will kill 2,000. In other words, when Muhammad laid this out, they said, come on, I was there at Badr. We had more men under arms. We were better armed. We had laid in wait. They were a civilian caravan. We were a bunch of marauding murderers. And so, you know, we overwhelmed them. We took them by surprise. This notion that you know, we're going to be 1,000 to 1 with the power of Allah, that's stupid. So we had a revision one breath to the next. But it's a revision, and how effective Muslim murderers are going to be. Quran 867. It is not fitting. And this is amazing, by the way. Amazing. It just repulsed. It makes you want to vomit. It is not fitting for any prophet to have prisoners until he has made a great slaughter in the land. You desire the lure of the frail goods of this world, while Allah desires the hereafter. And Allah is mighty. So here is Muhammad kidnapping those he did not murder. He's enslaving them at Badr. And there's some claims, you know, why didn't you just kidnap or enslave all of them? Why did you have to go and murder so many people? Why did you have to go and mutilate them? Oh, well, Muhammad had a handy verse from his God saying, oh, you know, it is not appropriate for any prophet to take captives, to enslave people, until he has made a great slaughter. And once that prophet has made a great slaughter, oh, by all means, enslave whoever you want. Now, if you think this is holy, if you think this is godly, if you think this is part of a great religion, if you think this is peaceful, you're insane. If you're one of those, like the President of the United States, defending Islam, if you're like Ben Affleck, defending Islam, when it says it is not fitting for any prophet to have prisoners until he has made a great slaughter in the land, you desire the lure of failed goods, but while Allah desires the hereafter, and Allah is mighty, that the hereafter is based on killing. Yeah, in Allah's Quran, the hereafter is based on killing. And Islam has just approved slavery. Anyone who would speak positively of Islam, Muslim or not Muslim, speak of it as a great religion, speak of it as peaceful, disassociate Islam for the acts of terrorism that it inspires, the murderous deeds, the rapes perpetrated in its name, are repulsive, ignorant, immoral boobs. When a religious text says it is not fitting for any prophet to have prisoners, captives, until he's made a great slaughter in the land, you have a real problem. That means that Allah's spokesmen are supposed to make a great slaughter. That is, their initial act is making a great slaughter. And then once they've made a great slaughter, they can enslave whomever they like. If you don't see that as immoral, inhuman, revolting, criminal, incompatible with decency, then you're an idiot. It's all there is to it. You'd have to be a complete and utter idiot. Quran 8:68. Had it not been for a previous agreement from Allah, a severe penalty would have reached you for the ransom that you took as booty. So enjoy what you took as booty. The spoils are lawful and good. That's why this surah is called the spoils of war. Now, there was no war, but the spoils, thievery, booty, plunder. And Islam would actually manifest itself on this basis, that Quran 869, enjoy what you took as booty, the spoils are lawful and good. Thievery, plunder, lawful and good in Islam. You know where Yahweh etched in stone, you should not make a practice of coveting. You should not habitually steal. Muhammad is saying exactly the opposite, or he has his pretend God say exactly the opposite. Stealing is good. Enjoy it. It's lawful to steal. Now, if you don't think that's a criminal enterprise, if you think that you can't associate this with the mafia, for example, or street gangs, and realize that this is a criminal enterprise. It is lawful for you to steal. This is the Quran, the heart of Islam. It is legal and lawful and good for you to steal, for you to rob people. Armed robbery, killing them in the process. In fact, you can even enslave your victims of your thievery if you slaughter first. If you create a great slaughter, then you can enslave. And of course, whatever you steal is yours to enjoy. It's a criminal enterprise. Islam needs to be denounced as illegal. And until we do that, until we embarrass and condemn the folks like Affleck and Obama, the Muslim guy, that lie on behalf of this religion, that deceive on the behalf of this murderous, enslaving, thieving dogma, then Muslims will continue to slaughter. They will continue to rape. They will continue to rob. They will continue to be a blight on humanity. It is that simple. The Quran's 8th surah is justification, and it's not the only hideous surah. The second is hideous. The third is hideous. The fifth is perhaps the most hideous. And the ninth is especially hideous. These are the last surahs revealed. These are the basis of Islam. They're repulsive, they're illegal, they're murderous. And the God who allegedly inspired them is a terrorist. And he orders all Muslims to be terrorists. No wonder that 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts are perpetrated by Islam. Now, you should know that as bad as all of this is, and it's obviously hideously bad, this was just the beginning. It got far worse after this. This terrorist raid against the civilian community caravan was just the first of 75. And some of those raids were so despicable that nearly 1,000 men and boys had their heads cut off in front of their loved ones while Muhammad mocked them. In future raids, those that were enslaved were women, even little girls, and they were systematically gang-raped by the Muslims. In future raids, the surviving victims weren't kidnapped for ransom. No, they were sold into slavery by the first Muslims. It actually got worse. And so we come to understand why Islam in the first 100 years of the Islamic era became the most barbaric religion ever known to mankind. The first Muslims murdered, savaged, sacrificed the lives of hundreds of millions of innocent people. They plundered them, robbing them in the name of their God, who said that stealing was lawful and good. Killing, slaughtering, a great slaughter, was lawful and good. Terror was the order of the day. Islam is the greatest blight on humanity of all time. The only thing that rivals it is Christianity, particularly Roman Catholicism, growing out of the beast that was the Roman Empire. I suppose that Christianity has led to the destruction of more souls than has Islam, but Islam has certainly claimed more lives. It is with a very heavy heart that I share with you that this was the motivation from the three individuals screaming Allahu Akbar in France, running their vehicles or their knives through innocent civilians. It was the manifesto of Ishmael, the murderous Muslim who assassinated the two New York police officers. It is the religion of Hassan, the murderous Muslim of Fort Hood. All 19 of the suicide bombers on 9/11 were poisoned by, influenced by, corrupted by the Eighth Surah of the Quran. They committed mass murder because their demonic deity ordered them to do so. They believed the most ludicrous, the most demonic, the most immoral, the most ruthless wannabe God ever conceived by man, and killed on his orders. Every member of the Islamic State knows every word of the Eighth Surah. Every member of Boko Haram knows and lives every word of the Eighth Surah. They kill on behalf of this God. They enslave, they rape, they torture. And to bring down this man's sight, Ishmael's, because the politicians and police and media in the United States don't want you to make this connection, means that all that Islam will continue to do is what it has always done, because there aren't enough moral individuals to hold the religion accountable. And if you're not one of those who is informed and willing to take a stand against Islam, seeking to criminalize it and isolate it, then you're no better than the Muslim murderers yourself. You're aiding and abetting a criminal enterprise. It is sad, but that was the case of Ishmael. And the police, as it relates to, and the man's full name, by the way, was Ishmael Abdullah Brinsley. What do you think Abdullah means, folks? It means slave to Allah. One who has surrendered to Allah. This demonic, terrorizing deity, murderous spirit of Islam. Well, after murdering the two police officers, he immediately killed himself. His life wasn't worth living. He, as a Muslim, of course, had many run-ins with the law enforcement. He was booked into jail in Fulton County, Georgia, 9 times between 2004 and 2010. When do you just give up on someone? Including battery, obstructing a law enforcement officer, and terrorist threats. He's been a Muslim for a while. A sentencing document in Cobb County, Jordan, where he pleaded guilty to weapons charges, showed that when asked if he had ever been a patient of a mental hospital or under the care of a psychologist or psychiatrist, he said yes, but there were no details. He said that he had been troubled since the 10th grade. Well, Islam makes you insane. There is no sane Muslim. There is no good Muslim in the sense of a good, rational, mentally healthy, moral person. Ishmael, Abdullah, was arrested a total of 19 times. He has attempted suicide in the past, and in this particular case, prior to taking the officers' lives, he murdered his girlfriend, someone that he would have seen as a Muslim of having no right to live. And yet, in spite of all this, the leaders of recent anti-police protests, including longtime New York civil rights activist Reverend Al Sharpton, have condemned the officer's murder. But they did not condemn it on religious grounds. Yesterday and the day before, as the funerals took place, African-American protesters shouted that they deserved to die, and expletives at the officers. Dateline New York civil rights leaders, I don't know why they call them civil, and I don't know why they call them rights, because in the most cases, the Al Sharptons of the world have been speaking against what you would consider what is right.
Out of all those, I would question leader more. Well, how are they leaders?
Yeah, they don't do anything. All they do is they're kind of the ambulance chasers of the racist movement. So if they can turn, in the case of Ferguson, there was no racism there at all. I mean, none. The attack of Gardner and Eric Gardner in New York, there possibly is some racism there. That was absolutely murder. Michael Brown, a thug. Eric Gardner, good guy, and killed by a white cop. Could be racism there, clearly murder there. But these guys are simply ambulance chasers. They make their living by preying off of racism, by stirring up racism. They're not leading anybody. They're not right. And I don't think their behavior is ever civil. So anyway, but it reads, civil rights leaders Sunday condemned the ambush killings of two New York police officers and expressed that the backlash over the bloodshed could derail the protest movement that has grown out of the deaths of Michael Brown and Eric Gardner. You know, it's funny. Eric Gardner, I understand. I am all for I can't breathe and protests against the police, particularly New York police, for killing him. And the New York judicial system for exonerating his murderers. Michael Brown's a thug. If you're in favor of Michael Brown, if you're holding up your hands, you know, I surrender, don't shoot, then you're an idiot. You're aligning yourself with a thug, and you ought not do that. The kid in Cleveland, if you want to protest against police brutality, excessive police violence, police being murderous and killing a 12-year-old boy in Cleveland, I'm with you, man. I'll be the first in line. If you want to take the side of, and it's not a racist issue, but in the Florida Keys, where the police suffocated a man to death for failing to indicate when he was changing lanes, and then lied about it collectively to the grand jury so that they wouldn't be indicted. Now, if you want to protest against that, I'm with you. In fact, there are thousands of cases where the police have not only committed wanton acts of murder, but then lied about it to get off. And I see that is a serious problem threatening America. But to pretend that this is part of racial profiling is moronic. And to not associate the Ishmael Abdullah killings with Islam and associate it with all of the killings that we're witnessing in France and the mutilations of innocent bystanders in France and also in Israel, and not to associate with what's happening in Syria with the Islamic State and Nigeria with Boko Haram, to fail to make those connections and to differentiate one from the other. One's a racist act, one's a religious act. And for the most part, priest brutality has nothing to do with race. And even in the racial connection, there's a reason that African Americans are profiled. An African American is 800% more likely to commit a violent crime than a Caucasian. That's a serious problem. And until you can resolve that problem, then you ought to expect being profiled. You know, you're killing one another. I mean, it's, I think the numbers are that when a black is murdered, that 9 times out of 10, the murderer is a fellow African-American. You know, you've got a problem. When there is interracial crime and a black and a white individual are victim and perpetrator, the black is the perpetrator 8 times more often than the white. I mean, this is reality. I don't care what the jaundiced, lying, disgusting scumbag of a president of the United States has to say about his feelings. I really don't care. The facts are the facts. And the facts say two things. One is that racial profiling exists because blacks commit 800% more violent crimes than do Caucasians. And the police are way out of control. We have a serious problem with the militarizing of our police and their willingness to use deadly force and then to lie about their crimes. I thank you for listening.